Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard of this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel is the third time in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke where Jesus tells his disciples that he has to go to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and rise from the dead. And what we heard today is after that. After Jesus told them for the third time, James and John respond in this way: "We want to sit at your right hand and at your left." Let us recap all three predictions and see every time when Jesus told them about that he'll go to Jerusalem to suffer, die, and rise, how the apostles responded and how the outsiders, the crowd, responded to Jesus. The first time, if you remember, Peter goes, "Lord, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem." And Jesus told them, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're saying. You're not thinking as God thinks." The crowd, the Pharisees, responded with the question about divorce, if you remember, two Sundays ago. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus' answer was, from the beginning, God intended for a man to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. Now, really, that wasn't a question about marriage and divorce. The question behind the question was, do we have to follow God's plan? Do we have to obey the way God set things up? Because Jesus takes them all the way back to the words from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, that was God's will. And then he tells them, but because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce. Why was it difficult for them not to have divorce? Because at that time, and even all the way, even in European history till the 1800s, marriages were contracted based on power and money. The nobility in Europe, they just married their children so that they can grow in their power. They married from each other. Different families married other noble families from different countries, so they have alliances. It wasn't about love, which God intended for marriage to be. It's about money and power. That's why they found that that teaching very difficult. Imagine in a patriarchal society, God telling them, even before the time of Jesus, a man should leave his father and mother. That was unheard of. Nobody left their parents. It's not like here you get married, you go buy your own house or move to your own apartment. They lived together because that's how the family grew in power and in wealth. The more children the person had, the more power and wealth they would have because they have more working hands. Jesus' words or God's plan was a radical plan. It changed everything, all the understanding of the people at all time. And that's why it was hard for them. Even the Gospel of Matthew, disciples tell them, well, it's better not to get married then. Then last Sunday, the second time Jesus tells them about his going to Jerusalem, now the disciples, they remain quiet. After what he said to Peter, they're not going to say anything. But Jesus tell them, what were you talking about? And they were talking about who's going to be the greatest among them. And then the outsider question was about wealth. The rich man who comes to Jesus. And Jesus tells them, it's very hard for the rich to get to heaven. And the disciples again say, then who will be saved? Why is it hard for the rich to get to heaven? Not because God has anything about being rich, but when we use our riches so we become to feel more independent that we don't need God, that's why it becomes a problem. That's why our wealth becomes an obstacle for us. Instead of Jesus' plan that what we receive is a gift from God and we're supposed to share it with others, we begin to hoard it for our own power. So it becomes, this is my security, is in my money, in my investment portfolio. And Jesus is saying, no. That money won't get you to heaven. You're going to let go of it and depend on God. Be like a child who's so trusting of God. Trust me. I'll show you the way to heaven. And this time, the crowd addresses the other question. This time, the disciples are not just quiet, now they are arguing among each other. There is conflict in their community. And now we deal with the question of power. We want to sit at your right hand and at your left. We want that power. You know, it's interesting, we all heard the expression selective listening. I mean, the disciples were hearing Jesus repeat over and over, you gotta be humble, you gotta be servants, you gotta be like children. And they keep thinking, power, money, how we can grow in that. It's not registering. And a lot of times it doesn't register with us either. We keep hearing the word of God proclaimed. We keep hearing the message of the good news of the gospel, your safety, your security, if you want eternal life. Jesus is the way. Not your own rules and commands and plans, not in money, not in wealth, not in education or power. We're called to be servants, to give of ourselves so God can give us eternal life. Just like Jesus did. That's why he went to Jerusalem. Not to be a martyr, but to show us that really, if we want eternal life, then we have to lose our lives as we understand it in human wisdom. The other interesting thing about today's gospel is the question that James and John ask Jesus. We want you to give us whatever we ask of you. We want you, Jesus, to give us whatever we ask of you. I don't know what other word before beside arrogance would describe this kind of question. And yet, I think many times our prayers are like this. We go to God and say, well, okay, God, that's what I want you to do for me today. Come on, go get busy. And then when we don't get what we want, we get upset and mad at God. Is this the relationship that we should have with the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God who gave his life for us? We want you to give us what we ask of you, or we want you to help us to do what you ask of us. Who's leading who here? Who's the leader? Who's the follower? And yet, that's how we think. That's how we approach God. Even sometimes we take it a step further and we make, like, you know, promises to God. Well, if you do this for me, I'll pray the rosary every day for the next month. God does not want to have a business transaction with us. God wants to enter into a loving relationship with us. That's not love. It's not what I'll do this for you if you do this for me. It's about total self-giving of ourselves to God so God can give us everything we want. Are we listening? Are we acting what we hear the Word of God is challenging us to? And the last point I'd like to make about this gospel is, despite that the apostles, the disciples, were although listening or hearing Jesus, but they were not taking it in, they were resisting. But you know what's interesting? They kept following him to Jerusalem. They didn't abandon him. They didn't say, well, you know, this is too tough. I mean, who can live this? Goodbye, Jesus. We're going to go back to fishing. Nor did Jesus say, you guys don't get it. You're not smart enough. I don't need you anymore. I'm going to find me another 12. No. Jesus continued to show compassion, continued to speak to them, continued to try to give them the message in a different way to help them to understand and accept the way of life he came to show us. And despite their resistance, their rejection of the message, they did follow him to Jerusalem. And I think that's important for all of us, because sometimes we do find the church's teaching, the words of Christ, difficult for us. We're not ready to embrace them yet or understand them yet. The good news in today's gospel, that's okay. We're not the first. The apostles started this way. But look how that journey ended. Yes, they went to Jerusalem with Jesus. Yes, they abandoned Jesus. But then see what happened to them, that transformation that happened. That can happen to us as long as we remain faithful and follow Jesus along the way of our life. Sometimes we listen to him. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get angry at him. Sometimes we rebel. But he continues to love us, just like he loved his disciples. He continues to explain things to us, to tell us over and over again what he's trying to get us to do and why. Not to make our life difficult, not so we can poor or sick or live a miserable life, but because he wants us to have eternal life. He wants us to have everything we want, not just on this earth, but for all eternity. That's why he invites us to embrace the cross. Not for the sake of pain and suffering, but for the sake of glory. Are we willing to follow Jesus along the way? Even when we don't agree with him, even when we don't understand it, even when it's difficult. Are we willing to still follow him? Are we willing to give him the chance for him to pick us up when we fail and to love us and to show us that it's okay, we'll keep working on it, but just keep following me? Are you ready to embrace the way of the cross and see the cross not as a sign of death, but as the door to eternal life?